Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to Kathleen Lee Part 2. My favorite part of her interview was us talking about our personal experiences being in interracial relationships. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby
show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome back for the second time on the podcast. The second time, part two of Kathleen Lee.
Thanks for having me.
Was that... Hey, dude.
Hey, what's up?
Was that impressive. Is it a bit too much?
No, I loved it.
Really?
I feel like when I was a kid, I went through this phase where I wanted to be an opera singer. So that kind of like spoke to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you were raised, you watched opera in your household?
No, absolutely not. I just was obsessed with singing because I loved Britney Spears and I thought I could sing. And I felt like the genre of opera kind of spoke to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't sing. So that didn't work out.
Britney ended up losing her mind, didn't she, a little
kind
bit?
Kind of, yeah.
Where she shaved her head and
yes, she
the paparazzi
definitely
was
had
involved.
A mental
yeah.
breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when you have that much attention, you're kind of bound to have a mental breakdown at some point.
When do you think that happens in one's career? Do you think they have to like get to a certain stature as far as popularity? Like, because it only happens to people like your Justin Bieber's or, you know, those type of...
Yeah, like the Michael Jackson's.
Yeah, or Will Smith.
Yes.
Well, he had a big part in what's going on with him.
Yes.
What do you think about his apology video?
I don't know. Honestly, I didn't even watch his apology video. I feel like it came so much later that it almost like didn't matter anymore. Like, the sentiment was nice, I guess.
Yeah,
but
don't wait 3 years, buddy. Yeah. I mean, how about apologize to Chris Rock?
Yes, that's another thing. I feel like I'm not one of those people who expect celebrities to make a public apology for something if they wronged one specific person.
Yeah.
Like, your apology does not matter to me because you didn't do anything wrong to me. Like, go apologize to Chris Rock, which I believe he did.
He had not during the award show, because when he got nominated, his acceptance speech... Didn't he thank the Academy?
Mm-hmm.
How about the first thing you do is say, "Hey, I sorry for slapping you on stage, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know what took me over, but I'm sorry."
It could also be in that moment he probably didn't feel sorry yet. Maybe it took him some time to reflect.
He was in a kind of this zone, right? He was in a
definitely.
There was fear and adrenaline involved. Mm-hmm. What do you think compelled him to do such a thing?
I'm really confused about that because the clip as Chris Rock was telling the joke and the camera panned over to him and Jada, you could see that Jada clearly wasn't laughing, but Will was. And then a second later, he starts walking up the stage. So I'm really confused because it didn't
look... Well, because Will looked at... He looked back to see Jada wasn't... He laughed. He was like, ah. Then he looked and he's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Then he decided to go and do something about it.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I almost wish there was a camera that just stayed on them so you could see the whole sort of thing unfold. Like, he gave her a look, realized she was upset, and then what happened from there? Because I feel like that's a big chunk of what happened that no one got to see.
Now, yeah, and I agree with you, but not only that, that's something that's been just underneath it. That it's been building up.
I think he had a lot of pent up tension and rage in there that he's not allowed to let out.
Because
he has like a happy go lucky personality. That's kind of what he's known for. He's like silly Will Smith, happy go lucky guy. He's not known as like an aggressive guy or
successful
and highly successful.
Very, very rich as well.
Yes. I feel like there's a lot of tension that he probably can't let go in a healthy way because everyone expects him to be happy go lucky Will Smith.
Can I be honest with you? I agree with you too. I think that he's the leading man in his roles, right?
Yes.
In the movies. But I think in reality, maybe he's not, he knows he's not the alpha dog. Maybe.
Yeah, I feel like and in his household, he probably
he's
isn't.
He's the beta dude, but he kind of takes a step back and he's like, oh, I got to stand up for my woman to prove I'm like the alpha dog, right?
But at the same time, it could be a situation where maybe he almost feels like responsibility is always on him for something. Like he's always to blame for something.
You're right.
Like you're the man, so you have to stand up for me now. So go and do something and then take all of the blame for it.
God, that's a lot to take on.
That's a lot of pressure to take
on. Well, that's a lot to take on for any person, for any human being.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? That's, you know, God, I didn't even mean to bring up Will Smith. Oh, we love you though. We love your work.
Love your work.
I love your old, even like his rap career. Parents just don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Summertime.
Yeah, Summertime. Very talented. He's talented. That's
extremely
why it's hard,
talented.
He's a talented guy. I want him to like.
He was likable for so long.
Yeah.
Where like you want to give him the benefit of the doubt of like maybe this is a one off. I don't know. I just like, I want to like Will Smith.
I want you too. Yes. I really do. I think the peak with me with him was The Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh my God.
That
made
movie
me...
made me cry. I'm sorry.
Crying
the
in the
last
theater.
Scene made me kind of tear up a little bit. I'm like, oh, that's great acting.
Him in the bathroom made me cry with his son. And he's like kicking the door because someone's knocking.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Or what about the end when he gets a promotion?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then it's just that. It's
that,
just
like
that
silent,
real vulnerable
like,
acting, real acting.
Yeah,
I think.
And it's so silent, but you see everything you need to. Like the way he just kind of slow claps for himself.
And
is
not, it's
amazing.
Like even his nonverbal, like communicate, like his facial expressions, his demeanor. You know, like I think he was brilliant in that movie. Brilliant.
That man can.
So
act
we'll get your shit together, huh?
See, both things can be valid. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, grab your kahunas, okay? Do something about it. I mean, come on, man. You know. Why can't you just dip, right? Like, he raised, you know, his son's successful.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's very successful. He's a rapper, he's skateboard, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone's successful. Yeah, they have enough money. Can't he just dip and just, how about take a break and just do your own thing for a while? Do you agree?
I do think he can. I don't know if all entertainers want to take a break. I think a lot of people who are in the entertainment industry find a lot of validation from being in front of a camera or the spotlight. And so it's almost like, even though you don't need the money, it does feed your ego in one way or another.
You know, I'm so glad you said that because, I don't know if it's this, if it's LA, but it's just this never-ending carnival. It's like, you know what I mean? A carousel.
Yeah, definitely.
It just, they can't get off it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's why you have to, you got to big up Dave Chappelle. Remember, he just full on bounced.
Yes.
Went to Africa, went to Ohio, whatever. He just said, I can't take this. I'm out. Yeah. All right. Let's get more positive with our conversation.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to talk about. I noticed the MTV shirt and it made me happy because MTV basically raised me.
What was your favorite program on there?
I mean, I can't lie to you. MTV Rap. I mean, Raps? MTV. Yeah. Yo, MTV Raps.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm like, I was nowhere near New York or, but just something when it was every day at 4:30 p.m., me and my friend Anthony would rush back from school to catch it, you know.
I would do that with TRL.
Yeah. So that came later. And then
that
there
came
was
later.
The Cutting Edge, too. I watched 120 minutes. Yeah. But something about Yo MTV Raps, it just allowed me. I discovered a lot of groups that I would never discover. Like I discovered like Del the Funky Homo Sapien, Pete Rock and CL Smooth, The Far Side, Wu Tang Clan, Mobb Deep. You know, Black Moon. It just goes on and on and on and on. And it just, I really fell in love with the music. I think, and that was like, because I'm from like San Diego, is mostly like, you know. It wasn't like urban at all. It was like, you know, I was on the wrestling team. And so it was like, if I didn't have that to like educate myself, like, oh, whoa, look at this, you know, because most of the kids, you know, like Tom DeLonge went to my high school, you know, like, you know, it's like there's mostly rocker surfer kids, you know. But what about you?
I was really into, I watched TRL a lot, but I was during the time when MTV started to make a shift towards like reality television. So a lot of my upbringing with MTV was when they started doing like the challenge in the real world. That
I was just
like,
gonna say the real world.
I love love, love, love the challenge so much. And right. I love the Real World. There was something
Who's
so...
Who was the first cast on the Real World? Was it Tuck? Or is
I don't remember. I was... That was like a little before my time. I remember watching The Challenge as the first few shows I would really get into. And then I found out that The Challenge was based off of The Real World. And then I found out what The Real World was. Mm. I just love any sort of show that has to do with people competing in competitions.
Really?
I love it so much because it reminds me of... it's the same reason why I love The Hunger Games.
Oh,
like I love this right. idea of like a like fight or flight, survival of the fittest.
What do you think that is derived from? Like, is mm-hmm. that so? Do you think that's in your blood, like the competition or something?
I think
because Asians are hella competitive too. You know what I mean?
Hella competitive. You know what I'm saying? Oh my gosh!
And plus,
absolutely.
Like, I want to get to your Vietnamese roots and yeah. stuff because I mean, maybe because you know, mm-hmm. as far as even my bloodline, I don't mm-hmm. know how far it dates back as far as what. Because yeah. back, if you want to go far, the lineage.
Yeah.
I mean, there was clans and. Your house.
I did a 23andMe a few years ago just to see like how far.
Wait, is that some kind of DNA?
Yeah, it's a DNA test where it tells you like your lineage from a certain extent. So like generation wise, like what your genetic makeup of.
And
is.
You gave blood, and then
I believe
up.
It was spit.
It was saliva. Your DNA. Yes. Okay, right, and so they swabbed.
Yeah,
they did a swab.
I believe it was like a little tube that you spit into a certain line. You send it in, and within like. 3 weeks they send you your results back. I got mine faster. I got mine within 2 weeks because it was pretty like spot on. It's just like 99.9% Vietnamese, and then the 0.01 changes between like Thai and Chinese.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I tell you because my brother took one because mm-hmm. I guess his they had a sponsorship that like yeah. they specialize in that, so he told his results to me and my mom in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And we found out that we are 10% Japanese.
How do you feel about that?
I'm okay. I'm
Are
cool
you okay
with
it?
I'm okay with that because okay. I have Japanese homies. I'm yeah. good with it. But my mom, it didn't sit too
That's
well.
That's triggering.
With her.
Yeah, with the background of Korea and Japan.
The history.
Yeah.
I mean, there's historical yeah. context here as far
Absolutely.
As Japan. I mean, this is even predating... Pearl Harbor, and, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
they're involved with World War II, but they also, mm-hmm. people don't realize, they conquered parts of China as well as Korea. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would take their
The
rise.
Japanese were ruthless.
Oh,
they
were about
ruthless.
It. They were about it. Yeah.
Spared no lives.
Yeah, so I was in the hotel, and because me and my mom mm-hmm. had to share, you know,
yeah.
share a room, and I know she was sleepless one of the nights, and she was tripping
yeah.
hard. She was like, oh my God. You know, like, she was like,
yeah.
I'm like, what's going on? And she was trying to figure out what had mm-hmm. happened in the lineage.
Yeah.
Something happened though.
She's like trying to unpack trauma at that point.
Yeah. I don't want to get into like my hypothesis
yeah.
of what may have happened,
mm-hmm.
but I have a pretty good idea. You
yeah.
know?
You can make a guess.
What wouldn't you say?
Yeah,
yeah.
I would, unfortunately.
Is someone kind of walking in the wrong neighborhood or
yes.
something? Or someone going into their neighborhood? Or,
That's the same
I don't
thing
know.
With Vietnamese people. If you find someone who's Vietnamese mixed with French, because the French colonized Vietnam.
That's
it's the same thing.
That's
so every now and then, if I see like a Asian person and they're Vietnamese and French, I'm like, ooh, I think I could take a stab at what happened. Sorry.
So what is your take on... Hollywood's take on the Vietnam War, because there's so many movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen them, you know, like Full Metal Jacket
yeah.
to Platoon and all these, you know, past
yeah.
movies. Like, is it how what are your feelings towards
See,
Hollywood's
I feel
take
like
on it?
I am a little too young for that generation of
right.
films.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do think it's a little interesting because from my standpoint, the way I was taught all of this is like my maternal grandfather was in Vietnam fighting the war with Americans when they were in Vietnam trying to like spread democracy. That's how it was told to me. And my
right.
when the Americans pulled out, my grandfather was actually taken and imprisoned for choosing to fight with the Americans rather than fighting with the communists.
Right.
So he was taken as a prisoner of war for several years because
really?
He wanted democracy.
Of course.
And my mom's side of the family ended up getting, after he was released from prison, he was actually sponsored by a really nice white family here in America to come to America since he
really?
Fought with the Americans.
How did
yeah.
he hook that up? How did he get that resource?
I don't know exactly how he found someone to like take him and sponsor him. Mm-hmm. But because he was a veteran and mm-hmm. he was fighting for democracy, I guess somebody with like kind of higher up knew what he did and how he went to prison for that. Damn. And was like, hey, you and your family can get out of here if you want. And that's mm-hmm. what they did.
It's fascinating that that actually yeah. war fascinates
yeah,
me.
Yeah, so like I don't like the perspective that some people have of like, there's always going to be racist people saying that like, oh, you're a fucking communist and this and that, because Vietnam is currently a communist country. But it's like, no, my family fought and died and fled for democracy.
Same thing with Cambodia.
Yeah.
With the Cambodia, you know, with
yeah, with the Khmer Rouge.
Yeah, exactly. And Pol Pot, they had and a lot of them migrated to like California or Long Beach or whatever. Yeah. You know, they had to flee, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just fascinates me. But you know what I think about that war? I know that there's resilience in the Vietnamese people.
Oh,
like
my God.
Even the people, the soldiers on both sides.
On both sides.
Because they had a whole tunnel. I heard.
This that guerrilla warfare is no joke in Vietnamese people.
Yeah, there's underground
we
tunnel
system. We are scrappy
system.
Little people. We're not the biggest amongst the Asians, but boy, we're scrappy.
I mean,
we'll find our
the
way.
The patience of, you know, these cats were like in this nook.
Contorted in a
contorted
nook.
Contorted
in
a hole.
Yes.
And just waiting
for
a soldier,
days just
yeah.
for someone to come
yeah,
in that general
that
vicinity.
Resilience.
Yeah.
Because they won, you know?
They won!
Yeah. So that says a lot about the people, you know what I mean?
We're always ready to fight. I feel like Vietnamese people are always ready to throw down.
And it's like, you know, like my history teacher used to say, you know, history repeats itself. I mean, look what's going on with Ukraine as well, as far as you can't just... I mean, they're going to fight back. It's their home, you know.
Yeah.
They're not going to just dip and they're going to put up a fight, you know. So I always found that interesting. But, yeah, it's just scary. It fascinates me, but it scares me to death because where we're at, like the technology that we have as far as the, you know, of what could happen in future wars or whatever.
Yeah,
because I
absolutely.
Think, wow, I think we're at a point now. I always kind of trip out, like, what if there's some technology that we don't even know about that maybe the aliens,
like
the aliens gave us or
something. Like the next war is going to be biological warfare. I think that's what it is. My boyfriend sent me an article the other day.
Can we
about,
give him a shout out?
Oh, yeah. My boyfriend is Stevie Blue Eyes.
So shout out to my main man, Stevie Blue Eyes. Good guy.
Last time I
Last
saw
time
you guys, you were doing stand-up.
I was doing stand-up. Brendan let me do a couple spots at
the Ha-Ha.
At the Ha-Ha. And y'all came through, and your boyfriend gave me some real good pointers.
Yeah.
And he was really... cool to talk to, like,
yeah,
you know
what
I'm saying?
He's
a good guy, yeah,
nice friendly man,
yeah, friendly dude. He was very helpful towards me and like his approach, so I appreciate that. So maybe he could come on here and
he'd come through.
we could plug his comedy stuff too as well, right?
Okay, yeah,
yeah. So I forgot what we're getting.
Was it the Vietnam War? Was it stand-up?
Well, you said biological.
Biological warfare.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
he
yeah,
was,
yeah,
he
yeah.
sent me this article about a group of scientists creating like this liquid like nanotechnology where it's like liquid bots that will move. So if it enters your body, it could try to like attack different, like, I guess viruses that are trying to like eat at your cells.
Oh,
but it's like liquid robots.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's like Terminator.
It's like
Terminator.
It's like Terminator 2.
And that's
remember
fucking
that
scary.
Was liquid. That,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so scary.
Not only that, like, you hear the conspiracy of like having something like that, but then having 5G kind of like enable that or controlling your or something, like messing up with your, you know, your
senses. See, I feel like those are the type of threats where now I would much rather just like roll over and die. Because in my head, if there was a zombie apocalypse, I'm not trying to live and fight. I want to die. I'm going to off myself.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to get eaten. So I almost want to like have a zombie's infected blood run through my system and then I turn. I just want like I don't want to live in a world where I have to
fight. Korean zombie series on Netflix or something.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's why we're so fascinated by watching those. Because, you know, we put ourselves in that position.
Yeah, I'm not meant to survive. I don't want that. I know my ancestors are meant to survive, but I'm not. I'm okay.
Like, even, like, if you were one of the last survivors, that would be a hard life, right?
Yeah.
Because you're scavenging all day, And every day's a threat.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So, like, watch The Walking Dead. I don't want any of their lives. No, I know you're surviving.
Yeah.
And I know you're doing as well as you possibly can, but I don't want that life for myself.
Yeah.
I want to be a zombie. Yeah. I want to be on the other team.
Yeah, I would do that too. I would just...
Get on the winning side.
Yeah, I would be a zombie, you know? And then I would just jump off the cliff or something. Yes. Yeah. What are your thoughts on... Have you seen Nope? Jordan's new movie?
I have not seen
you
Nope.
You gotta check that out.
I hear very good things about it.
Yeah, yeah. Cause Steven Yeun's in it too as well.
Steven Yeun is so handsome. Oh, he's so handsome.
I mean, can we?
Steven
I Yeun look at him and
so
I start shivering.
Gorgeous.
He is just chiseled. I mean, you know, I just talked about this the other week. I ate dinner with him and my brother didn't notify me he was gonna be at dinner.
Yeah.
And so I mentioned that because I was sitting directly. This is how I was close. Yeah. This close.
So how was the dinner?
I was just looking at his facial features.
Isn't he beautiful?
He's just a beautiful, he's a beautiful person.
Beautiful man. Yeah.
And I have a girlfriend, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a heterosexual man. I'm a heterosexual man.
Yeah.
But you got, beauty is beauty.
Beauty is beauty.
Handsome
absolutely.
Is handsome.
Yeah. Objectively speaking.
Yeah. Yes. But it's something, just he's chiseled.
Chiseled.
Eyes. Even his beautiful mustache.
Beautiful man. Yeah. God took his time with Steven Yeun.
What was that?
I think God took a little extra time with Steven Yeun.
Can I play a little devil's advocate here? Okay,
yes.
So let's say you run into Steven Yeun like and
yeah. I know where this is going, yes.
Steve, you don't have to listen now. This is just a hypothetical.
Don't worry, I won't send him this link.
All right, don't
fine.
Send him this. We won't
I'll
clip it or anything.
Absolutely
okay,
honest.
But you run into... You know, you're out there, you know, you're with Chin. Mm-hmm. You guys are having Korean food. Shout out to Chin.
Shout out to Chin.
And you guys are having a dinner.
Yeah.
And then you bump into Steven Yeun and you guys kind of shoot the shit. And then, somehow he's going through a divorce or something. And then he goes, hey, we should get coffee sometime.
Yeah.
And then that kind of evolves into something else where it's like you're not only just having coffee with him now, you guys are like, kind of starting to date.
Yeah, there's like tension there now.
There's tension, but then you still are in this thing with Stevie Blue Eyes.
Yeah.
So what do you do in that scenario?
I think...
Be honest, though.
Be completely honest,
this
I feel
Steven
like...
Yeun.
I know.
Just keep that
I feel
as
like,
context.
I feel like I'm not the type of person to go do anything without telling my boyfriend. I am not someone who asks for his permission, but I'm definitely not hiding anything from him.
You got a good one, Stevie Blue Eyes.
Like today, like I wouldn't just like randomly come here and not tell him what I was doing for like the next few hours.
And he was cool with it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's the thing. Mm-hmm. I already met him and I'm cool. We had the bro moment. Like
but
the respect.
He's also such a, he's not possessive or overprotective of me at all. He's very much like, you are your own person.
Is that
you have
a turn
your
off?
Own. No, that's a turn on. I
no,
love.
No, is that a turn off if the person's overbearing and where are you going?
Oh, a huge turn off.
Who's,
oh my
who's
God.
Texting you?
I know certain girls do like that trait in a man because they feel like they like a man who's a little jealous, who's a little on edge, but I don't like that. I really don't. I think that is so incredibly unattractive in a man.
Does it show weakness?
Not just weakness, but like insecurity that you don't feel like you are confident in who you are as a person enough to let me live my life. There's nothing more attractive than someone who's confident in who they are, regardless of what you look like, what you do for a living. Mm-hmm. Just like confidence of like, I know what I bring to the table. Like, go live your life.
Mm-hmm. So
I know you're not doing anything.
Can a man kind of be fronting? Like, kind of like...
I think you can tell when someone's...
So you
like,
can't
trying
fake
to
the
fake
funk
it.
When it comes to confidence.
I feel like you could try to fake it as well as you can. Because I do think you could fake it till you make it.
But can you see through it eventually?
I think you can see through it. Honestly, I do feel like you can see through someone trying to fake confidence. And I never hate or criticize people who are trying to fake it. Because I think I had to fake it for a long time, too, until I felt more confident in who I was. Because for a really long time, I was insecure about absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to the scenario.
But like with Steven Yeun, I feel like I would have to tell my boyfriend, like, oh, I'm going to go grab coffee with my friend Steven.
Okay.
You may know him from the show The Walking Dead. I'm going to be here. And if over time that keeps happening, I feel like he would eventually bring it up, like, hey, you're hanging out with this guy a lot. And it's like, yeah.
Well, let me finish my scenario because I'm going to add some.
Okay,
some
add some
spices.
Details.
Yeah, I'm going to add some
spice it up.
To it.
Make it hard for
me. So on the fourth coffee
date
or just meet up.
Yeah.
you notice that he kind of sits a little bit closer to you, mm-hmm. okay? And then, you have your hand on your hot tea or coffee, mm-hmm. and then he somehow brushes against your hand and like...
And that's not an accident.
I know, that's why I'm bringing it up. And so what... Yeah. Do you... Would your adrenaline meter be kind of off the charts?
Yes, it's Steven Yeun.
I mean, this is Steven Yeun.
Absolutely. Yoon, okay? Absolutely.
It's Steven Yeun.
Okay. I feel like my heart's racing now thinking about it. Like, I... Yeah, I would would absolutely start to like, boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Like, I don't think I can deal with it.
And then, oh, can I add another?
Yes, add another.
Some more kind of a different kind of detail to it.
Yeah.
But then, not only that, he puts his arm or hand on the back of your neck and starts like, like kind of like a.
That's nice. Yeah.
Like a kind of like a bat, like a neck rub or something. You know what I mean? And he takes it there. Yeah. What do you do then?
I feel like I
because your defenses are down at this point. This is
if I'm being completely honest, I feel like I wouldn't pull his arm off of me, but I also would tell him like, "Hey, I have a boyfriend."
Whoa, you would.
Yeah, but I wouldn't pull the arm away from
me.
I would let him know I have a man.
That's loyalty, Stevie Blue Eyes.
But I am not removing that hand.
Wait,
I am waiting for Steven to remove the hand.
So he would have to remove the hand.
So like, hand is on me like this, and I'm like, "Hey, I have a boyfriend."
So you would be doing like Madonna Vogue, like
no, like
you'd be voguing
like this
it.
Is like pretend this is Steven Yeun's hand.
Yeah,
like, he's giving me a little neck rub. I'm like, hey, I have a boyfriend, but I'm not like taking his arm off of me.
Okay, can I throw another?
Yeah,
detail.
Yeah.
Okay,
throw a detail.
While this is happening,
yes,
he takes his other hand. All right, just hear me out. Okay. Just hear me out. Hear me out. He takes his other hand and places it.
Oh, that's too much. That one I have to remove. I have to remove.
There you go.
And
here's that's
because like
that's he's crossed the line
he's
there.
He's crossed the line, and I feel like you're less attractive to me then.
Okay, right.
Because
even
it's like,
though,
why
even
the
if
hell
it is,
are you laying
the,
a hand? Yeah, even
this
if it's
is Mr.
Yeun
here.
Because I feel like my idea, a big part of why I feel like Steven Yeun is so attractive is that I think he's very respectful. I would imagine.
Oh, dude, he's a family man.
Exactly. That's
he
the
has
attraction.
A kid. He
that's
has
the
a
attraction.
Wife. Yeah,
I love.
But
nice,
my scenario, like, this is a different.
Yeah.
This is
this
a multiverse.
Steven, yeah,
this is a different reality.
Yes.
In this reality, he's going through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the custody battles, and now he's basically a single guy. That's
yeah.
this is a whole different scenario. So
I
it's not
like
the Steven
no.
you know in this universe.
That's not
it's
the Steven Yeun I want.
Oh,
I
you
want
the
Steven
real
Yeun.
Steven Yeun.
Yeah, I want the real Steven Yeun, the like wholesome family.
Because that's what it makes him attractive in the first place.
Yes, because I love nice, like truly, genuinely like nice guys. Like not that bullshit people say where it's like nice guys finish last. That's why no girls like me. Like real nice guys.
But that saying exists for a reason.
It exists for a reason because nice guys who say that are not nice guys. They're manipulative as fuck, pretending to be a nice guy.
Wait, say that again, because my intern just agreed with
see,
you.
See, she knows. She knows exactly
wait,
what
hold
I'm
on,
talking
hold on.
About.
Say that one more time into the, yeah,
because
that.
Real
wait, no,
nice.
Go way, go okay. like from 30 okay, from seconds, what? 30 seconds ago, say
okay,
that again.
So I don't want Steven Yeun, who is putting his hand on my inner thigh, because that's no longer a nice guy. Because
mm-hmm.
nice guys don't do shit like that.
Mm.
They don't.
Mm-hmm.
And nice guys don't have to go out and tell people that they're nice guys.
Mm.
You just know.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're a nice guy. You've never had to tell me, hey, I'm a nice guy.
You're just, that's...
I just know you're a nice guy.
Exactly. And this is a hypothetical, by the way. I just want to let the viewers and listeners...
Steven Yeun
has
done no wrong.
Has never done anything wrong.
I will not...
This is just a hypothetical. Mm-hmm. This is like in a multiverse, if you were, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I will never allow any Steven Yeun slander.
Okay,
first and foremost.
He's a great
but
dude.
Great
he's
guy.
Doing great
but
work.
But in this multiverse...
He's a great actor. We love
Steven.
He's going
through
some exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so fair enough. Fair
yeah,
enough.
I just feel like I love nice guys.
Mm-hmm.
And men who have to say that they're a nice guy usually aren't nice guys. Same thing with like girls. If a girl says, I'm not crazy, usually she's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, why would you have to say that?
Right. I get that. Yeah. Because they're on the defense.
Yeah, they're already defensive
about it. So I mentioned before the podcast, I go, can we talk about relationships?
Yeah.
Because I'm in a relationship and
we're both in interracial.
We're both in interracial relationships. So my girlfriend is white.
Yes.
And Steve Blue Eyes is a white man.
Yes.
So we're on the opposite ends of the same scenario, just flipped around.
Yeah. And I feel like for a long time, something I hate about
interracial relationships mm-hmm. was that you could always correctly, back in the day, I say, mm-hmm. assume that the girl was Asian and the guy was white.
I feel 85-90% of those scenarios is a white man with the Asian woman.
Yeah.
And it's the most accepted as well.
Yes.
It's the most accepted.
I feel like because
society.
for the longest time people desexualized Asian men and they didn't find Asian men attractive or manly.
Hollywood had a lot to do with that.
They had a lot to do with it. And now K-pop is popping and you couldn't find a woman on this like God's green earth who isn't into BTS.
You know what's crazy is
Asian men are fucking killing it now.
My buddy sent me an article of Western women going to Korea
yes.
and looking for
Koreans,
love.
I feel like Korean
because of
men,
a Netflix. It's like there's a term for it, like mm-hmm. some Netflix mm-hmm. syndrome or something yeah. where there's so many Korean dramas or mm-hmm. something where women, they're in this fantasy world. They're like, oh, I got to go out there to find, because mm-hmm. they're watching these Netflix Korean mm-hmm. dramas.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. But also, like, hell yeah. I feel like I grew up in San Jose, and I grew up around a lot of other Asian people and a lot of Mexican people. So that was kind of like everything I knew. And no one from San Jose really ever felt like Asian guys specifically. Like, Asian guys never saw being Asian as, like, a bad thing. Like, oh, I couldn't get girls because I'm Asian. Like, Asian guys were the shit where I'm from, because that's all. There's only Asians and Mexicans.
Not where I was from.
Exactly.
That's mostly why I was around. I was raised around white people.
Exactly. And I feel like that's where I feel like this idea of like Asian guys aren't hot started to pop off in like mostly like non-Asian communities. I feel like Asian guys are some of the hottest men in this world.
Yeah, but they weren't portrayed that way.
Yes, they weren't portrayed that
history,
way.
And even that's Hollywood, you have your long duck dongs and mm-hmm. your short rounds and all that. The only guy that they really gave it up to was Bruce Lee. Mm-hmm. And then it went down to Brandon as well. Yeah. You know, he got a pass.
Yeah.
But it's like, but the thing is, in order to be accepted, like, you had to know kung fu or something.
You had
kind of
to be the most
something.
Masculine version of
exactly,
an Asian man.
Exactly, like chiseled
and
like be able to kick ass. You know? But it's like now.
I'm happy it's not like that anymore.
You think it's changing?
Definitely. Oh my God. I feel like with this younger generation, maybe not in our generation, but definitely the younger generation, there's such a high level of like the like Asian representation mm-hmm. on the internet, on television, in comparison to what we grew up with, mm-hmm. where now a lot of these girls are looking at K-pop groups like, that's the hottest guy I've ever seen in my life. Like, these girls go nuts for K-pop groups.
And my mom does as well.
Yes, and good for her. She knows what's up.
I mean, there's more pictures of them than her own two sons in her home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she's obsessed with V and all. Yes. Yeah, she's obsessed with them.
Yeah, but
she even colored her hair like purple. She's going on.
Love it.
She's going in on that. Yeah, she loves those boys.
Yes, everybody does now, and I feel like that helps with how people see Asian men. I love that.
I'm okay with that, but mm-hmm. as far as from a musical standpoint, I'm not too into the music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's fair. You're not into like pop music.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like.
You're not into butter.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, you know what it seems like? It seems like they don't even know what they're saying. It's like they have a ghostwriter.
Yeah.
Just say this.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, okay. And they just spew it out. Mm-hmm. But it's because it's a hit. It's like they're trying to make the most popular hit song or something. That's just my opinion. Hey, mm-hmm. keep doing your thing. They're huge. I mean.
Oh, massive.
They're like the Beatles.
They literally
are
like
the
Beatles.
And that blows my mind. But that's my exact point.
Mm-hmm.
I actually love the Beatles' music.
Yeah.
They wrote some damn good songs, mm-hmm. you know, right?
Yes.
I don't, that's just my own thing. I mean, I'm glad that they're getting recognition. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just saying, do you ever get, like, weird looks, or do they, like, as far as you being in an interracial relationship with Stevie Blue Eyes?
No, I feel like being an Asian girl with a white guy, it's almost like assumed sometimes. So, like, I never get weird looks ever. I feel like I've got it easy. In comparison,
I've noticed.
I feel like I've had weirder looks dating an Asian guy than I do dating a white guy.
What?
Because during my time at Fire and the Kid when I was working there, and people found out I was oh, at shout the time.
Out to, yeah, okay, I forgot about that. Yeah,
shout out to, yeah, but I was with my ex-boyfriend at the time, and he was Filipino, and I used to get so many DMs of people talking about how I was like, oh, like I can treat you right, and like this Asian guy doesn't know what he's doing, and this and that. He would get so much
DMs like that.
I used to get such like terrible DMs from about my ex-boyfriend. Usually, yeah. I mean, their fan base is mostly white, oh, so like my. Just by like numbers.
So
wise.
They would just try. Oh, they would be blocking that way.
Yeah, and they'd always like it was never them trying to hit on me in a regular way. It was always something to do with like putting down my ex-boyfriend because he was Asian, and they almost felt like it was like a layup that he was Asian with this like Asian girl. Like, oh, I could take his girl because like he's Asian. He's not gonna do shit. Like, he's not hot. Oh, I'm like, how fucking dare you?
Oh no, I would put
how fucking dare
oh,
you?
No, I would have to say something to that. I mean, if
oh so, my God, I hated it.
Because I, you know, on the flip side, like I noticed, like not so much, because my girl's in Pennsylvania. It's cool out there. Everything's been cool. It's not, but we sometimes take trips to Arizona. It's in Arizona where.
Do you get weird looks?
Oh yeah, we were walking through Target, and it was looks like where they'll do a second take. They'll go. Mm-hmm.
You know what that reminds me of? Yeah,
but you know what I'm saying? It's like it's one of those things where they're like, "Whoa, what's going on there?"
Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of an interview that. With Ryan Seacrest where he was talking to Steven Yeun and his co-star on The Walking Dead. I forgot what her name was, but like beautiful white woman is his love interest, and Steven Yeun, clearly a Korean man. Mm-hmm. On a radio show with Ryan Seacrest, Ryan Seacrest like, "So, how do you guys deal with like people thinking that like you're a couple?" That's so funny, right? Mm-hmm. And they both Steven and his co-star are like, "Why is that funny?" He's like, "Because like in real life you guys would never," and there's like that insinuation like you guys would never be together in real life. And I was like,
accepted or something, or it's not a common thing, or
not just a common thing. It made it the context
or something,
the context of like what he was saying made it seem like he was saying there's no way you as an Asian man land this hot white girl. Ooh, and I was like, what the hell?
You know what's, that's crazy.
And like Steven Yeun?
Yeah.
Steven Yeun?
Yeah.
You're telling me the hottest fucking Asian man couldn't get a beautiful white woman if he wanted to?
You know what's even crazier?
What are you saying about all the other Asian men?
But you know what's crazier about that? Your below average white woman, they feel entitled to like, oh, I could get Steven Yeun.
Yeah.
Isn't how that weird how that's weird? On the contrary, it's like they feel that their mindset is like, oh, yeah, well, I could date him. Like, I could get him.
Do you think?
But this guy's at the top. He's like, that's like me saying whoever the hottest woman out there, like, yeah, I could, you know, whoever's out there.
It's like a fucked up math system of like, well,
it's
here,
the entitlement. So like, it's like, you really think that? They're like, yeah, it's really odd to me. Like. They actually think this, like like a average, below average woman thinks like, yeah, well, I guess he would do. I could, you know, it's like, it's almost like, wow, you feel like you're entitled to that or you have enough to offer him or something. Yeah. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But it. So what is that look? Is it that second take is like disbelief? Like that thing in Target where, because it happens several times.
I don't
not
know
just
if
at
it's
Target.
Disbelief or just people just like not being used to seeing something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what it is because a part of me, I don't want to always think that someone has like bad intentions or someone's like inherently trying to like be racist. But so, like,
I'm not saying it's a racist thing
but it's
by
just
any
like,
means.
Why
it
are
could
you,
that could
be
could a part
be,
of
but,
it
like,
too,
I don't
want
to assume it's ever that. I think sometimes people genuinely haven't seen like a combination like that in their lifetime.
I think in their eyes, because I always try to look at it in another outside of myself. Mm. Maybe in their eyes, it's like it's this beautiful white woman, and then I'm like with the alien gray.
What do you mean alien gray?
No, I'm saying. I'm trying to see it from their eyes. Like, what if they look at me like...
Like you're a gray
like
alien.
It's that foreign. That's what I meant. I mean, I didn't mean it literally.
Yeah.
But I meant it metaphorically. Like, dang, that doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
That's a little gray and that's... Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Like seeing a Rottweiler and a Chihuahua
have
a baby. It's
like,
exactly. How does that
that's
work?
That's a better analogy.
Logistically,
it's like those two different breeds don't mix.
Yeah.
But you know, ironically, dude, look at Bruce Lee's trajectory. His mm-hmm. wife was a white woman, mm-hmm. and they had Brandon Lee. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying?
Bruce Lee was also a quarter German, wasn't he?
That I don't know. I don't know. He could be. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know he's Chinese. I don't. I don't know if he was. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he wasn't. But the point being is like, oh, it's like in order for people to accept that, you have to be at Bruce Lee's status for it to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
He was in Enter the Dragon. He's the kung fu guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just found it interesting because
I feel like it's not really like that anymore. I was just, and this is a testament to real life. Mm-hmm. I went to Boston I was in Boston a few days ago. I just got back. And while I was there, I saw so many Asian people, like including like Asian dudes with white women and black women.
I love that.
Fucking killing it.
I love that.
Asian men just walking around. Just like, mm-hmm. yeah, this is my girlfriend. And what? Like,
that's dope.
Like, it was so normal. It wasn't like this weird thing of like, you know, sometimes when you see like an Asian girl and a white guy, there are certain situations where you're like, oh, he has an Asian fetish. Not like he likes her and she happens to be Asian. Like, this is a fetish. You know what I'm talking about?
My brother's got a joke about that.
Yeah, like there are those certain type of couples where you're like, yeah. oh, this is like something else.
Yeah.
This isn't strictly like love.
Well, you would be able to see, you could definitely see those scenarios like a front weird, like.
And it's usually like an older white dude. Yeah, like, yeah. Really young looking, not the like best Asian, not attractive.
Not attractive, little overweight. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, okay, I know what's going on
there. Yeah, but while I was in Boston, it wasn't any of that. Really? This is literally recently. Just like normal couples. Yeah, like literally 3 days ago.
Do you think that people kind of like look at maybe like a Asian with a Latina or Latino mm-hmm. with Asian, you know, that's more accepted, mm-hmm. right? I feel like that's more.
I feel like to me that's more accepted because where.
Why is that? Especially
that's
like,
where I grew up. What I grew up seeing.
Is that a Cali thing or a LA thing?
I feel like it's a maybe. Right? Maybe, yeah, because I will see California does have a large influx of Asians and Mexicans. Mm-hmm. And so I saw that mix a lot more than, like, say, like a black and white couple. There really weren't too many, like, black kids or white kids at my school. There were some, but
right,
not a lot.
Right, right.
It was predominantly Asians and Mexicans.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
and, like,
yeah,
I
yeah,
have,
yeah.
like, like mixed half Asian, half Vietnamese, half Mexican.
Have you dated Latino men?
No, oh my God, I always wanted to date Latino men. I feel like they were my first love.
There might be some Latino men watching this and they're like, oh man, I missed my shot or something.
Honestly, you guys did because when I was growing up.
Sorry, she's taken Stevie I'm Blue taken. Eyes, that Stevie I'm Blue taken. Eyes girl. But you know what
By
I'm saying?
By a gringo, yeah. but it's okay.
But you would be open to it.
Oh my God, absolutely. When I was younger, I used to only have crushes on like these like beautiful like Mexican boys when I was a kid.
Really?
And I never ever got a chance to date any of them because I was too much of a tomboy and they didn't like that. They liked girly girls, so I was always friend zoned.
So you grew up as a tomboy?
Oh yeah, big tomboy. Like
what? Because you have a sister and a brother, right?
Yes, I have.
You're in the middle?
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest?
Yeah, I'm the oldest.
Okay. Yeah. And then your brother's the youngest?
Yes, he's the baby. He's like the baby. 11 or 12 right now.
All right, can I give him a shout out real quick?
Yeah, give him a shout out. His name's Curtis.
What's up to my main man, Curtis? Keep doing your thing, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he into sports? Like, is he?
I'm trying to get him into MMA, honestly.
What about wrestling?
I would love that. Just anything. He started talking to me recently about how he's been, like, getting bullied in school and just like there's like a mean kid and I feel like I don't know what his name is, but like I told him, I was like,
yeah,
am I gonna punch a 12-year-old? Because I will.
Yeah,
I'm the same size as a 12-year-old. I'll do it
because I wrestled since sixth grade.
Yeah,
ranked second in the state.
I saw the photo you posted recently.
Won San Diego section 3 years in a row. If you would give me an opportunity, just spend a week with your brother,
yeah,
I could train him in take down defense, takedowns, duck unders, arm drags, double legs, high crotch. I mean, yeah, because I come from a lineage of a good wrestling system in Poway there.
Yeah.
So I think if I had a week or even like a week and a half, 2 weeks, I could get him where,
where
he would feel
be.
Confident. Like if this bully tried to come at him, he would at least know how to take him down.
Yeah.
I'm not saying because I don't know the stand up, the boxing part, but as far as the grappling part, I could really aid him in that sense.
That'd be great.
For sure. I mean, so Curtis, right?
Curtis.
If you're open to it, what grade is he in?
I believe he's going to seventh grade now.
Oh, that's a great. I started wrestling in sixth grade.
Yeah.
So if he's open to it, does he have a wrestling curriculum at his school?
I don't believe so. The biggest thing is I just want him to get into a program where I feel like he's getting adequate exercise to just like release some steam.
And wrestling, then to like make friends. Wrestling is perfect for that. Not only that, it could get him skilled.
Yeah.
And this is a life skill. I mean, he'll, because wrestling, and you said MMA, right?
Yeah. I just want to put him in something.
Half of MMA is wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Is literally wrestling. It's takedown, takedown defense. It's a part of the game.
Yeah.
So if he starts this early and builds up like fundamentals, dude, I mean, I could seriously, I mean, I could teach him some stuff. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. Curtis, I've always kind of wanted to do that. I know maybe I probably missed my boat there, but it's like, because since I kind of did choke at state, I'm like, and someone commented on this too. They're like, you should be an assistant coach or something. Yeah. I don't know if it's too late for that, but
I
it's
don't
like,
think it's too late.
But I'm thinking, I don't know. I've always wondered. I wonder what it would be like if I at least like was an aide or something, like an assistant.
You can always volunteer at like a local.
There's like, no. I don't want to tell you my the address here, but there's no the high school around here. Yeah. I don't think has a program.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, but I'm sure your brother has a wrestling program. What's the main high school where he lives?
Can't say that either.
Okay, that's fine.
We'll talk later.
Okay. But anyway, so Curtis, if you want to learn, I could, like, you know, I would be more than glad to, like, like teach him, like, takedowns, takedown defense, how to, you know, how to grapple, how to grab people, wrist control, neck, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I still watch it.
Yeah.
Do you still watch
Do you watch I would say very casually. I feel like I went through a period of time where I was obsessed with it. Watched every single fight that was coming out. Always illegally streamed it because I had no money at the time.
It's expensive. And
then, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. But now I watch casually.
Like, what are you paying attention to the female fighters?
Yes.
So what are your thoughts on Amanda Nunes?
Can anyone beat her?
She's unbeatable, right?
Well, she got beat.
By Juliana.
But this recent one, she won in a spectacular fashion.
Oh, five rounds.
I love Amanda Nunes. I feel like there's something about her that's very, like, I don't know. I just love everything about Amanda Nunes.
She's badass.
She's a badass. I feel like I look at her and I think, like, great mom, like, very wholesome.
Yeah, they're both mothers. Yeah, yeah. Juliana has a kid, too. But Rose Namajunas, too. That's my favorite out of them.
Thug Rose.
Thug Rose, yeah. Who was your favorite fighter all around?
My favorite fighter.
Yeah, be honest about that. Let's get to
was Brian Ortega. And to this day, my boyfriend is always so, like,
he's got some beautiful eyes, too, doesn't
beautiful he? Beautiful eyes. Jesus Christ. But, like, I really loved watching videos of people roll, like, jujitsu. I used to, like,
No, I know what you're saying, jujitsu. Yeah. And boy, that's an art form in itself.
It is.
It?
Yeah. It's a beautiful
and
art form.
He's well versed in that.
He's very well versed in it. I used to watch
Gracie jujitsu.
Yes.
A lineage of that.
Yes.
Right?
I got into watching people roll while I was in college because I had a friend who was a part of like a jujitsu club. I didn't know anything about it at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I watched some videos thinking like, oh, maybe I'll hang out with her and like do whatever they do. Mm-hmm. And then I found videos of Brian Ortega was like, oh, wow, he's so good. Like he was doing like one of the first videos I saw was him doing like a flying triangle. Like he ran at someone and then like choked them out midair.
Yeah.
And I was like, how can someone do that? That's amazing. And I've like loved him ever since. I will always watch his fights and my boyfriend gets very uncomfortable. He's like, oh, you can watch your little boyfriend.
Thing about him, you know why I like Ortega? Because even his body type, he's not that, but he's like skinnier. He's like a skinnier dude.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, his background is he's similar to like the Diaz brothers.
Yes.
Where he was around
similar vibe,
Cholo gang influences and elements. Like gangs that like around him where he chose a different route. Yeah. He chose more a positive route to do the MMA thing opposed to that other lifestyle.
I think it's also I always found Mexican men attractive. So I saw him was like, yep.
Yep. Are you, what about like cholos and stuff? Were you ever,
I feel
is there
like
attraction
cholos,
there too? There's a little bit, right?
I feel like I don't necessarily have like a sexual attraction to them, but they're such like, not even tough. I feel like the cholos I grew up with, they always, because I was kind of like a shy, like tomboy, kind of like nerdy kid. I'm like into like Game of Thrones and shit.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to be like an Egyptologist when I was a kid. Like,
so you were a tomboy and you were kind of nerdy.
Yeah,
on the
yeah, yeah, definitely. But like the cholos always kind of saw me as like, oh, like the nice like quiet Asian girl.
But there were some at your school?
Yeah, there were some, not very much. I lived in,
tell me
like,
about the cholo kit, like what were
the
they,
cholo
the Cortezes?
Kids, they were always so fucking funny. They were the funny, they were always like the class but clowns.
They
always
didn't
like,
have hair though, did they?
Not really. Bit. Always like kind of like buzzed
a Raiders, yeah. Something either
always
a Raiders
like
or
a
Dodgers.
Raiders, yeah, always right, well like I'm from the Bay Area, so it was like either Raiders or 49ers. It was one or the other.
But and then Dickies,
the high sock, the Cortezes.
High sock. So they would rock it like.
Yeah.
I mean, like, is this a pretty good.
The higher the socks, the closer
they
to
would
God.
Rock it like this. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, Chucks too?
Mm-hmm.
They'd either do so. The,
Cortezes.
The shoes
Chucks.
Would either be Nike Cortezes mm-hmm. or the Chucks.
Yeah, the old school Chuck Taylors.
Okay, but then they had some slide. Wouldn't they wear sliders as well?
Mm-hmm. The, sliders? What was it? The Fila's or the Adidas ones? I forgot which one.
But they would rock those with the socks, right?
Yeah. I always felt like they were so kind and funny. Mm-hmm. So I have a very soft spot for cholos, honestly. I don't have like a sexual attraction, but I see them almost as like a big brother figure. I'm like, oh, I feel safe here.
But there's poetry within their whole lifestyle. Like, because mm-hmm. there's poetry in the sense that like some of their tattoos are poetic. Like you have the clown mask of the sad mm-hmm. clown or the happy clown. You know what I'm saying?
They're, definitely.
Or they really love their women too. Mm-hmm. They'll have, I mean, there's probably a lot of tattoos mm-hmm. of their novia, you know, or their mi amor, it's like the
they're
tattoos.
Such romantic men. I love that.
Not only that, I think the best tattoos are like cholo style tattoos.
Yeah, you're into that.
I think that they're just so there's something
they
cool
are dope.
About them.
Yeah,
whether it's like a clown mask mm-hmm. or a sad clown,
yeah,
or a tattoo of their woman where it has mm-hmm. like Anita por vida or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or something where it's like showing their love to their woman, you know what I mean?
I had an uncle who went to prison and he went to like a predominantly like Mexican prison. And I guess he liked everyone's tattoo so much. And you know how like the cholos would have like Mexico or something like
on their stomach?
Yeah, on their stomach. My uncle came out of prison and he got a tattoo that said Vietnam in the same way, in the same like lettering and everything.
Like
because
whole,
he was around a bunch of cholos.
Letters,
yeah.
Like the whole block letters.
Yeah. So like, I just thought that was dope.
But that's like, so that shows you how much of an influence that has even in the prison yard or something.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, so what
I
was he in prison for? I mean, that must be scary being a non-Latino or non-black.
I was too
or
young.
White when you're the others. Because
mm-hmm.
they're labeled. If you're not black, Latino, or white, you're
other.
Miscellaneous. You're
other. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So it must be scary being the other.
I would assume so. I was a little too young to know what he was put away for. I feel like a lot of the adults in my family kind of hid why he was away. They kind of said like, oh, like he's out like working somewhere. He moved this and that.
Right.
And then he came back and suddenly he had like this Vietnam tattoo on him looking like
That's
a cholo.
Crazy.
And I was like, oh, he looks dope though. He looks dope. And he was originally from Vietnam. So he's a fob. He's like a fob with Mexican tattoos.
But he's
now.
The others. He would be.
Yeah, he was others. But I feel like because he had that tattoo, I feel like he was adopted by the Mexican gang, if anything.
It's
Mexican
like that
side.
Movie American Me. There's that
one
Asian, there's a one Japanese there's a one Japanese guy in there that was accepted by La M.
Mm-hmm.
That one guy, you know, mm-hmm. he's the one guy. And I always found that interesting. I'm like, oh, that's an Asian guy. But he was an exception to the rule. I think that's so cool where it's like, oh, he must have had a go through a lot to be accepted.
Yeah.
It's like you got to learn the language or the code. There must be a different language.
Oh my God.
Code,
my father
there.
Learned how to speak Spanish really well because when he came to this country, one of his first girlfriends was a Mexican girl who strictly spoke Spanish. And she, his family is like in Orange County in like Westminster. Mm-hmm. And he goes to this house party. Randomly, he speaks like barely any English, mostly Vietnamese.
Yeah.
And he says he meets this beautiful Mexican girl there. And she doesn't really speak English either.
Mm-hmm.
She predominantly speaks Spanish, but somehow they hit it off. And he ends up moving to Mexico with her
And he lives there for an entire year. And my grandmother would drive from Orange County to the border of Mexico to give him Vietnamese food when he missed home. And one day he and that girl broke up. He comes back to the U.S., goes back to Orange County. And she's like running around Orange County trying to find him. Like, no, I want to like get back together. And that's how I found out how my father spoke Spanish.
Damn. So he literally...
He was about that life.
He literally embraced the culture by moving to Mexico.
I inherited his love of Mexican people. I truly do.
Really? He was that down.
He was down. And I didn't...
How good is his Spanish? Was it slang?
It was pretty fucking good. It was, like, passable. I think for someone who is a Vietnamese immigrant who, like, struggles with English, for him to pick up some Spanish is, in my mind, amazing.
Yeah.
Because he used to work in construction and a lot of his coworkers were Mexican. So he'd be like, oh, like, hola amigo, and like very
just
like
street slang,
like street slang, like passable, like small sentences.
¿Qué onda? ¿Qué pasa? What's going on?
Yes, and then he would like pick up his coworkers who didn't have a car, and so he would like pick them up for work and then drop them off at the end of the day. And I always just like, I was like, huh, that's interesting. My dad knows some Spanish.
You know,
and then finally they told me the story. So now I think I have like a brother or sister in Mexico somewhere that we probably don't know about.
You ever think of this? Like, because you know, you're pretty well versed in podcasting. You've done it a while now. You ever think that there's, what if there's like cholos that watch, like what if they were to watch this episode or see like one episode you're on? Do you ever think about who's actually watching your content?
I always assume it's like a white guy just because from like I used to.
It can't just always be white guys.
I know.
There's a lot of Latinos, there's a lot of Asians, but no. But you ever,
because I used to work like as their social media intern, I like know the numbers. So like, I always assume it's a white person. But like, hey, if you're a cholo, specifically a cholo, not just like any Mexican man, but a cholo. Yeah, I fuck with you heavy, and I'm really sad that no Mexican man wanted me as a child.
And as well as I do too. I got nothing but respect for my Latinos and Latinas. Yeah,
they're so welcoming and loving.
Well, you're in LA. It's kind of like sooner or later you're gonna have to learn cultural aspects of the whole. You know what I'm saying?
They have
like,
a beautiful culture as well. Yeah. I love how family oriented
their food is. Just the best.
Yeah, the food.
The
food is just delicious.
Some of the best ever.
Like
yeah.
I feel so happy, and I feel like I melt inside when someone calls me mija. I just feel like a part of my like my inner child just got healed.
I'm or like even when they call me Coreano or something, I'm like, oh, okay.
I love when they call me China too.
Oh, they call you China. Oh, they do.
Yeah.
They call you China?
Yeah, for a long time. They're just like, oh, that's what like we call Chinese people. Like, okay, cool.
Or Chino.
Yeah. Well, I'm not Chino, but
Chino
yeah.
Loco.
Oh, are you Chino Loco? I'm just kidding. I feel like that's a story in of itself.
No, I've had some scary stories when I lived more like towards Echo Park. So like where early 2000 where I'm, because I fresh from Arizona, I moved out here in my brother's apartment with like all these skaters and stuff. And it was a hard time. And I just remember like, oh, this is different. I got to learn like there's a code of the street thing here.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
definitely.
I had to learn real quick. Like, don't go out past this time. Don't be skating past this time, you know. And it was like I had to learn quick. Like, OK, this is not like what I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn real quick
because
if you don't, you know. That would be bad, you know.
Yeah.
You have to learn, but it always fascinated me, like, cause although I knew I saw it more down there, but it's like, it fascinates me that still exists, that they're that loyal to like a certain street or cause when it's like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
definitely.
When it's like the city owns all those streets and properties, you know. But it's just like it's just the code. It's the code they live by, and you gotta respect it. That's all.
Yeah.
So we're already already past an hour.
Look at that.
We're wrapping it up. I mean, well, I want to thank you all for coming early. Mm. So this is a rarity. So look, can we do this? End it by like promoting some of the stuff you're doing, podcasting or merch or anything, or even like if Steven Blue Eyes has future shows you wanted to plug for, you know.
Yeah, honestly, I've been chilling. I haven't really been doing much. The only place you really can find me now is onlyfans.com/teen. Link is in my bio.
What about
podcasting? I actually took a step back from all of that. Unfortunately, my grandfather, I found out a month ago that he was in stage 4 cancer. It like developed really quickly. We didn't know, and he passed away a week ago. So I really took some time to just be with my family recently.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah.
You showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I did my mourning when I found the news, but now I'm just kind of trying to live as well as I can to honor him. I just know he wouldn't have had wanted me to kind of like sulk in it.
Right.
He was like a really big advocate for like, go live your life and be happy and do what you want. So I'm trying to live by that a lot.
Okay. Are you taking a hiatus from King of the Sting After Dark as well?
Yeah, I am no longer doing podcasts anymore. Oh, wow. I'm trying to reevaluate my life right now. I'm in like this weird transition.
So you're
period.
In a transitional period.
Yes,
which is
absolutely.
I'm kind of like going through something similar.
Yeah.
Personally as well. Like, as far as, you know, I'm still going to do content, but I'm trying to think like, is there a way for me to do this? Do I have to physically be here?
Yeah.
Can I do this somewhere? You know, yeah. I don't know. Not that I'm making decisions tomorrow or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of evaluating like
your options.
Or like, can I do some, like, you know, not just this, but do other types of content where it's different, or I don't know, like more vlogging. I don't know. But not only that, it's just like, you know, because my girl is like, it's hard to, you know, that
long distance is hard.
It's hard. And we've been so keeping hard. It together. So it's like, I didn't realize how much of a hard time she must be having, you know, because there's already a time gap,
yeah,
a 3-hour difference. So it's like, even my sleeping schedule affects her. And so I'm like, okay. And then, so I'm doing everything on my part to like, to arrange us to meet up more. Yeah. And, but it would be easier to, if both of you were
together. Yeah, dude, yeah, absolutely.
I got to figure that out too, you know, but one step at a time.
One step at a time.
Gotta get my car first. Gotta get other things. But so, did you wanna? God, we didn't even talk about your OnlyFans.
Oh, I think that's fine.
Yeah. Did we talk about that last time?
I don't know. I don't even remember if I was on OnlyFans at that time. I think
maybe,
I was.
Maybe.
I don't.
Well,
can we
give it a quick shout out, a plug? Can we plug
it?
Yeah,
definitely.
Quick? Go ahead.
So it's onlyfans.com/teen. It's TIIIEEN. But you can find all my links on my social media bio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exclusive content, go to onlyfans.com/teen. Yeah. I always joke around like, what would happen if I were to create an OnlyFans? Yeah.
What type of content would you want to do?
Well, I had, who's the other guest that said my followers would be primarily gay men?
I feel like,
because she said all of my followers, because I have a bubble butt.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah, I hide it, but yeah, it bubbles out. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, but she was saying,
I feel like,
oh, her name was Kitty. Kitty was saying that. She was like, yeah, but then is there a way around that where...
I don't think there's really a way around that, but at the same time, I feel like there's definitely not a shame in it. I have an agency representing me for OnlyFans.
You have an agency?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So what's the name of the agency?
It's called Unruly.
Really?
Yeah, so what they do is they help me set up photo shoots, kind of network with other people who are on OnlyFans.
I had no idea.
And they help me. So sometimes OnlyFans will have glitches. Sometimes it shuts down randomly.
Can you write Unruly? That's interesting.
It's still a very much like... Not Unruly. OnlyFans is still very much like kind of a new website, and it's growing very quickly. So sometimes they have glitches, and my agency just like helps me with all those things.
Yeah.
And so they represent a lot of men who are making a lot of really good money. Granted, there are a lot of gay men following them, but they don't really care because they're making a bunch of fuck ton of money.
Oh, so like, there's this guy named... It's a part of it.
Yeah, it's a part of it when you're a man. And I think for the most part, people don't really care anymore. I think there was definitely a stigma if you're a straight man on OnlyFans for a while. But
now
it seems like that's
fine now.
Yeah, I think most people on OnlyFans like, have just accepted that, like, hey, that's a part of it.
Would I need, like, a abs and a six-pack?
No, I feel like
as well as my bubble butt, or...
Your bubble butt probably will help. I won't lie to you.
That's a selling point.
That probably would be a selling point. If that's, like... your big hitter, your money maker, that might be it. But you don't have to.
Would I have to wear thongs?
No, you could do whatever you want to do, Stevie. I know a guy who does magic on OnlyFans.
Really?
Yeah, I had a subscriber for about a year who would tell me like, oh yeah, it's really cool you're doing OnlyFans. I hope you know, like, you don't have to. This is like the very beginning of me doing OnlyFans. Yeah. He's like, don't feel pressured to do anything you don't want to do. I'm on OnlyFans too, and I do magic. I don't do any nudity. I just do magic.
What if I implement my butt, but I do like,
yeah,
like just like
you could,
like just have the butt facing the camera, and I could do like just do butt dances.
If you wanted, you could put like you could put this on OnlyFans. You could put podcasts on OnlyFans.
Really?
Yeah, so you could put anything you want on OnlyFans. So
it's varied. You could, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You could do all kinds of different things. It doesn't have to be have a sexual context or anything, like or physical context.
I believe DJ Khaled has an OnlyFans, and he just talks about like his business ventures on there.
Really?
Yeah, you do whatever you want, OnlyFans. The only thing is, how does that
differ?
No.
Hold on, we're gonna finish up here. How does it differ from Patreon?
I think it doesn't. I feel like depending on what type of content you do, Patreon makes more sense.
Okay.
Because OnlyFans takes a 20% cut, and I know Patreon takes 10 or 8, something like that. Yeah, but it's one of those things where if you are a sex worker or you're trying to sell like sexy photos of yourself, you can't do that on Patreon. So you pay that like high cut to OnlyFans because you can't do it anywhere else.
Right.
So that's the appeal of OnlyFans to sex workers.
It's more, it's more geared towards whereas that,
if you're doing something like a podcast, I think you're better off with a Patreon.
Right. All right. Well, I didn't know that was going on. Thanks for.
But if you want your bubble butt somewhere, like OnlyFans.
No. This
place
is all hypotheticals. You know, I don't know how my girl would feel as well if I have my butt out there.
But what if Steven Yeun asked you for it?
What is it, come again?
What if Steven Yeun asked for your bubble butt? He's like, hey, I had a really great time with you at dinner. You're really nice. You're really cool. So I just I noticed you had a bubble butt.
You're
and
reversing it on me.
Yeah, like. I know you have a girlfriend
let's
and everything,
save that
but
for part three, huh?
Let me think about that.
Let me think about that one. All right, dude, it was always an honor having
Thank
you.
For having
Do you
want to
give any more shout outs or what about your Instagram? Let's.
Oh yeah, Instagram is teen, or you could type in my name. Mm-hmm. It's CATTIENLE. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so again, thanks for tuning in for another episode. If you want to best support this platform, go to patreon.com/stevieweeby. I also do another podcast with my brother Jeremiah Watkins,
Scissor Bros,
and we drop those episodes weekly. Oh, we have a new clips channel, Scissor Bro Clips. So, but we go to youtube.com/scissorbros, but then youtube.com/scissorbroclips, and so those are daily clips, okay? And there's also a Patreon for Scissor Bros, too, where we do Warzone content, interactive Zooms. So go check that out. My website's still kind of in the gray area. I'm still working on it. It's still kind of not online yet, again. So I'm still working on it. I need to revamp it. StevieWeebyBandcamp.com for all my music. Go to, if you want to send any packages or mail, anything like that, send all your stuff to the P.O. Box at 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. One last thing. Do you think Steven Yeun would ever do this podcast?
I feel like he would be a fool not to do it.
You heard it first on the
Steven
Yeun.
Steven
Yeun,
if you're
show.
Watching this, please
Go
come
ahead,
on
give
the Stevie
give him a message.
Show. Steven, I know you're watching. And,
do you think he's watching?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Oh, because he was amazing. He was like a
talking point. He knows you. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a talking point for about like 8%.
Someone's going to send this to him.
You think
so? Yeah.
And he'll be like, oh.
And by someone, I mean me. Like, I'm going to send him a link like right when this comes out.
Go watch. Nope. let me give a quick commercial. Go watch Jordan Peele's Nope in theaters everywhere. I hope y'all enjoy it. It was a great movie. Support all of Jordan Peele's movies. I also want Jordan here one day, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's more.
You got to get Steven on first, and then Steven I think you could get Jordan.
We love Jordan Peele's movies here on the Stevie Weeby Show. Go support all of Jordan Peele's movies. Dude, it was an honor having you.
Thank you for having me.